O Lord, our great God in heaven, we would focus our attention upon you. We realise, O Lord, that you are great, glorious, holy, and loving and kind and merciful. What a glorious privilege it is to be here this morning, to worship you, to hear your word, to come aside from the world and to focus our attention upon you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that today may be a day of salvation. We pray, O Lord, today in this place that there will be those who shall be saved. Pray, O Lord, this day that there will be many added unto your kingdom in this world. We pray that this day the Lord Jesus will build his church. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let us turn to the word of God this morning, to the book of Genesis and chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. So reads that portion of the word of God. Let us all pray. We think, Lord, of that great man, John Newton, and how he was able to write out of the depths of his own experience, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lord, he knew himself to have been a wretch, but he knew what grace was too. And we thank you, O Lord, this morning that every Christian believer here can say the same, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We realize, O Lord, that we were deep-dyed in sin. We were deaf. We were blind. We were dumb. And we were dead. And yet, Lord, we thank you for that life-giving Spirit. We thank you that he convicted us of our sin, that he focused our attention upon the Lord Jesus, that he enabled us to see the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. We thank you, O God, for that one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. We bless you, Lord, that you laid on him our sin, so that, Lord, that we might go to heaven, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. We bless you, Lord, for our so great salvation. We pray for a greater sense of the reality of it in our lives. We pray that we might live for Christ and for him alone, that we might know the reality of those words of Paul the Apostle of old, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We bless you, Lord, for him who loved us. We thank you, O Lord, that you sit upon a rainbow-encircled throne. We realize, O Lord, grace is there. And one day, O Lord, every believer shall be with you in the glory. We thank you for it. And Lord, we are troubled because we live in a very sad world. For in many countries, O Lord, your people are undergoing the most severe and terrible times. And Lord, we would remember them, because your word tells us that we are to remember those in prison as if bound with them. And we would cry, O Lord, that you might grant them all the grace and strength that they need. We pray, O Lord, that they might be aware that eternity is before them. And although men may destroy their bodies, yet, Lord, we thank you that their soul is safe. We pray, O Lord, that you might show yourself to them as the God of all comfort. And, Lord, that the promises of God might be very precious to them. We pray, O Lord God, that you might bless them and remind them, O Lord, that they are safe in your hands and that the eternal God is their refuge and that underneath are the everlasting arms. O Lord, our God, we thank you for all the dear children that are here this morning. How we bless you for the numbers of children that now are connected with this fellowship. But Lord, we long that each one of them might be saved. Amen. We realize, Lord, that that is their greatest need. Not a good education, not university, not a good job, however important these things might be. The most important thing is that they might come to know the Lord Jesus. And we pray, O God, for each one of them, that you might save them by your grace, and save them while they are young, that they might be kept from this wicked world. O Lord, hear us, we cry. Be with your people here as they have that baptismal service next Sunday. We pray for Georgina and Mike. We ask, Lord, that you might undertake for that. We realize, O Lord, that there is so much to thank you for, the salvation of a precious soul. And we pray, Lord, that through it, that again this baptistry might be opened, and that, O Lord, our God, that many might profess faith in the Lord Jesus. O God, encourage your people. We thank you for them here, and pray that your great blessing might rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you turn in the Word of God this morning to that passage of Scripture that we read together, Genesis and chapter 22. I want you to imagine this morning that you are Abraham. You're not only an old person, but you're very old. And like many old people, you can wander down memory lane. You have plenty of memories. Some are sad memories and some are glad memories. You can remember the day when God called you out of Haran, a godless environment, and called you with a great promise and told you to get out of your country and your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a remarkable promise that was, and how those words down through the years have rung in your heart and continued to do so. You can remember how at the age of 75 you left Haran, and you left with Sarah and also with your nephew Lot and went to the land of Canaan. You have been privileged to have a wonderful direct communication with God. And you know only too well that God's directions are always right, because he is the infallible God. Whenever God spoke, you obeyed. Whenever you listened to the voice of God, you were able to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." You can remember too how sad it was that you had been foolish in making out that Sarah was your sister. You know only too well that she had suggested it to you, and you had foolishly gone along with it. You can remember the separation of the land between you and Lot, and you gave him the free choice of the land. You can remember also how the Lord made a wonderful covenant with you, and how precious were those experiences of God. You can remember how that God said to you, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And you have always known that. And then you remember the great promise that God gave to you. "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." And you can remember how that you were brought outside on that occasion, and how God said to you, "Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And then God said to you, "So shall all your descendants be." You can remember sadly of your relationship with Hagar, how you sought to take the situation into your own hands. You can remember the visit of those three visitors. And you can remember Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you can remember how that the incredible happened as Isaac was brought to birth when you were 100 years old. But one day, one ordinary day, you get up in the morning and there is a knockout blow. God speaks unmistakably, as he always did. And you respond in your usual way. You say, "Here I am." That day was like no other day in your life. And you were asked to do something that you never in your wildest dreams you thought would ever be asked of you. You hear God speaking, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Every word was like a sword piercing your heart. And not one single word was used of God to attempt to soften the blow or to make it easier. Your heart drops. And you're tempted to ask the question, "How can this be? I've had the promise. And Isaac is the only way that promise is going to be fulfilled. But my business is to trust God and to obey his voice. You remember only too well how that Sarah's womb was as good as dead, and that life came when that happened. And you reason that God can even raise the dead. Josephus tells us that Isaac here was 25 years old, although that is disputed by many scholars. One thing you have learned in life, down through the years, is to obey the voice of God. And off you go with a heavy heart, and off you go with Isaac. Yes, you have all-conquering faith on that day. So you're able to say to your servant, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So you take the wood of the burnt offering and you give it to Isaac, your son. And you take the fire in your hand and you take a knife, and off you go, father and son. And what a heavy heart you have. If only you could get out of this situation, you would. But you're God's obedient servant. And then there are more piercing words that are to come to you. Not from God, but from your son Isaac. My father, he says. Here I am, my son, you reply. Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And you have to give a serious reply. And your heart is breaking in two. My son, you tell Isaac, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And there are tears beginning to well up in your eyes as you go on together. There's a fire and a knife. But there's one thing missing, says Isaac, the burnt offering. And you reach that dreaded place, Moriah, and you begin to build an altar of the ground, of mud. And you arrange the wood. And all sorts of thoughts go through your mind. If we were to die as a criminal, it would be another matter. If we were to die as a rebel against Yahweh, it would be another matter. If we were to die as a stubborn son, it would be another matter. But Isaac is a dutiful, faithful son. How can I ever look Sarah in the face again with the blood of Isaac staining my clothing? What would the Egyptians say? What would the Canaanites say who dwell in the land? And you reason within yourself yet again that God can raise the dead. After all, Sarah's womb was as good as dead, and that womb gave birth to Isaac. The altar is built. It's built with the heaviest heart that an altar has ever been built with. And you know only too well, it's Isaac's funeral pile. And then you have to turn to Isaac. You are the lamb which God has provided. And you notice that Isaac is as obedient as you have been, and that there's a willing submission, for we have no mention of any complaint from Isaac here. And you lay your son on the wood. And oh, how you wish in your heart you weren't there. Anything but this. And you take that knife to slay your son. And your heart is breaking. You can't tell people how you feel. What a grim sight. What a grim scene. And just at that very moment, the angel of the Lord calls to you, Abraham, Abraham. And you say, here I am, as you always did. And you hear words of sweet music to your ears. Do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. From extreme grief to overwhelming joy. You know those emotions only too well. In the middle of the darkness, there is a message from heaven. And suddenly you're allowed to see what's behind it all. The test is, do you really fear God? Do you love God more than anyone else? Even than your own son, Isaac. And you look up and you see a ram that God has made a provision for the sacrifice. A ram caught in a thicket. And that ram is made a sacrifice there on Moriah. And then the angel of the Lord calls to you a second time. And there's a reinstatement of the promise. By myself I have sworn, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. What relief. What encouragement. What comfort. And you return with Isaac, as you said you would, to your servants, to the young men, as you promised you would. What can we say? Well, we can say this, that Abraham was totally obedient. He rises early in the morning. He gets things ready. There's no indication that he even says anything to Sarah. He leaves his servants behind, those young men. He carries out God's request. He's prepared to carry out God's request. And sacrifice is painful. And my dear friend, this morning, if you would be a Christian, and I pray that you would, every day is a sacrificial day. For every day is a day when the Christian is to be a person who denies themselves. Every day is to be a painful day, because self is ever there. Self is very precious to somebody that's not a Christian. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And if you become a Christian here this morning, a Christian is someone who no longer lives for themselves, but lives for Christ, and has Christ the supreme object of their lives. We are told too here that painful trials are often the experiences of God's people. And if you would become a Christian this morning, let me tell you very clearly that suddenly you'll be surrounded by a number of problems. I want to deal tonight with the question of suffering. And we look around this world and we see the situation in Syria and we see the situation in Iraq. We see the situation in North Korea. And we cannot even begin to enter into the anguish of these people. And the test is always, are we going to trust this God in spite of everything? Job, are you prepared to trust God for who he is, not just for what he does? Are you prepared to be obedient to him? Are you prepared to obey what God has said in his word? And we have today what Abraham didn't have. We have a complete Bible. And we are often tested, the trial of your faith. Abraham was one who knew what it was to reason. We are told in Hebrews 11 and verse 19 these remarkable words. He concluded that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And promises are the expression of God's grace. And God said through the angel of the Lord that he knew that he feared God. Or says someone, but the fear of God is just an Old Testament concept. It isn't. It's in the New Testament as well. At the end of Hebrews chapter 12, for example, we read these remarkable words. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And to fear God is to have a respect for God, is to have an admiration for God, is to have an amazement of God, is to seek to glorify God and thus to enjoy God. There's a joy in fearing God. There's a sense of awe before God and a submission to his will. And if you will become a Christian, then you must know the fear of God. But we do have a picture here of the Lord Jesus. For we read in Romans 8 and verse 32 that God did not spare his only Son, but he gave him up for us all. What anguish Abraham must have gone through that day and over that period of time. But it was nothing in comparison with what God must have gone through when he saw the world's treatment of his only begotten Son. And knowing that behind it all, on behalf of Christ, it was a voluntary act. And taking the wickedness of man into his holy hands, God brought about the salvation of men and women. There was a voluntary sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus for sin. God provided a sacrifice. God provided not a ram, but God provided his Son. And God was under no obligation to us, for we were his enemies. And there was a mountain where provision was made. And that provision was made on Mount Calvary. And when God lifted up his knife to his Son, the knife of inflexible justice to his Son, there was no restraining him. We can never comprehend what it cost the Father to deal with his Son for sin that we had done. And Calvary is the only place where sin can be cleansed. The only place where enemies can become friends, where rebels can become sons, where sinners can become saints. Have you been there, my friend? Boys and girls here this morning, have you been to Calvary? Have you been to that mountain? And have you seen one dying for your sin? Bearing the punishment for your sin, bearing the wrath of God against your sin. Every time you go away, I'm moved. Do you know what you're saying? I don't want this Jesus. This amazing love gift for sinners. I don't want this Jesus. How can you say it? We're given a shadow here of the suffering of the Father and the suffering of the Son. For my friend, you need somebody to take your place. If you would go to heaven, you must have a substitute. You must have somebody to take your place. The only substitute is Christ. Bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And because of God's amazing love for sinners, there was no holding back of the knife. It pleased the Lord to bruise him for sin that we had done. And I plead with you this morning to repent, to turn from sin, to turn from self to Christ, to turn to God's Lamb, and to spend not another moment in your sin. Come now. Come immediately. Come urgently. Come as a sinner. And come and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And say, Lord Jesus, be my Saviour. And I'll recognize you as my Lord. How can you really turn your back on Christ? How can you turn your back on this amazing love? This amazing grace, this amazing mercy. I plead with you this morning to close with Christ and see him for the first time as your Saviour, as the one who saves sinners. He came into the world to save sinners, you know. When I saw that man in Southend a few weeks ago, I knew where I was going. I knew what it was, my friend, to be so sick with drink I couldn't go to work the next day. I know what it was to do pub crawls around Soho until grace laid hold of me. And my dear friend, this morning, I pray that God's grace will lay hold on you and make you his child. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-blessed God, these things are so urgent and so important. Oh God, lay hold upon those that know you not, we pray. Make them aware of their sin. Melt their hearts. For by nature man has a hard heart. And by nature people do not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Lord, give understanding, we pray. Help people to see their sin and to see the great sin bearer. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.